गुरवे गौरचंद्राय राधिकाय तदालय कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः। सो वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू, गुड मॉर्निंग, थैंक्स सो मच फॉर कमिंग। कैन यू लिसन टू मी? सॉरी इफ माई वॉइस इज नॉट टू लाउड, इफ नॉट यू कैन यू आर इन्वाइट टू कम क्लोजर इफ यू फील मोर कम्फर्टेबल, एस यू फील मोर। So today we are continuing with the topic that we started the other day. The topic was how to rediscover Krishna in our life. So this is an endless topic, because to talk about Krishna means to talk about God. To talk about God means to talk about He who is infinite, he, she, they, even to say he is limiting in one way. So you need some translation? Okay. Okay. Puedo hablar español, pero no me van a entender ellos. La próxima organizamos la traducción a la inversa y alguien traduce. You need some chair to be nearby them, and so they can listen to you. Sure. Okay. So, yeah, the title of this series of lectures that we are giving this week is how to rediscover our relationship with God, our connection with Krishna. So that's an endless topic, that's an endless conversation, because one name in our tradition for God, it's Ananta. Ananta means endless, no? Unlimited, he who has no end. So a relationship with someone endless is endless. No? And the development of that relationship is endless. No? So there's no limit to what we can say about it. As I like to say, we can only touch upon one point in an infinite line. That's what we can say about it. So today in particular, I'd like to connect the topic with the celebration in our tradition, at least celebration especially for me, but not only for me, which is the it's the appearance day of a very important teacher in our particular school, someone very close to our Srila Prabhupada, and his name is Srila Siddhar Maharaj. Confirmed. So today we are celebrating the Abhirbhav Mahotsav, or the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Rakshakthiar Dev Goswami Maharaj. So Srila Siddhar Maharaj was a very dear friend to Srila Prabhupada, and they were very intimate, very close, the two of them. Srila Prabhupada will consider Srila Siddhar Maharaj his Siksha Guru, or his instructing teacher. Despite being spiritual brothers, he holds Srila Siddhar Maharaj as in a very high esteem. Today, maybe I don't have time to go into all the details of the life of Srila Siddhar Maharaj. I mean, again, it's endless. But I'd like to touch upon some of his teachings in connection to today's topic. So in our last meeting, I quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He mentioned one idea called Tattva Vibhrama, which meant to be confused about our ideas of God, so to say. And despite God being very merciful, God being very gracious, and even correcting our own misunderstandings, we have to be willing for that to happen. We have to be open to illumination and enlightenment. Mm-hmm. That could be one way to define the term sincerity. Now, sincerity means, can be translated as the willingness to be re-educated continuously, no? Especially in relation to the infinite, again. I mean, when we are facing the infinite, that's an important question, no? With which attitude should I approach the infinite? If it's infinite in nature, naturally, my approach will needs to be open for constant disclosure, for constant rediscovery, for constant wonder. In our particular tradition, the word wonder is very important. In Sanskrit, it's called chamatkar. Chamatkar means like astonishment, wonder, surprise. No? Like in connection with the infinite, you have to be ready for constant surprise, basically. And I know that can be a little like destabilizing. No? Like we don't want constant surprise. Right? We want things to be somehow certain and predictable and secure. But one name for God, for Krishna, our tradition is Urukrama. And Urukrama means the supreme adventurer. He who is embarking upon a constant adventure. So if you want to relate to such a person, that means a constant adventure. A beautiful adventure, no? Full of grace, full of love, full of harmony, full of truth, full of sweetness, full of adventure. That's a real adventure. No? Ultimately, in this adventure, there is no risk. No? There is no risk of losing anything of actual value. There is absolute risk of losing everything that has no value whatsoever. Hopefully we are okay with that. Srila Siddhar Maharaj, the teacher we are celebrating today, he will say, in the beginning of the spiritual journey, sometimes we will feel, oh, too much risk. Too much risk, too little gain. This sounds like a dangerous enterprise. Too much risk, little gain. He said, then as we progress, we will realize the more the risk, the more the gain. So the perception changes. Before it was too much risk, I don't see any gain here. I see sheer risk everywhere. The more we progress, we realize the more I risk, the more I'm gaining. And when you are in the most advanced enlightened stage, you will realize no risk, all gain. All the things I thought I was risking actually held no value in themselves. It was an illusory sense of risking or losing. I'm losing those things that never belonged to me. Something like that. So there was no risk. All gain. It's all gain. So it's interesting because now we don't see that everything is gain. And we don't see that because we are projecting a lot of false sense of what's valuable and what we may be risking in our false idea of what's valuable. And when I have a wrong idea of what's valuable, I have a wrong idea of what I'm risking. And I have a wrong idea of what's actual gain. I may have wrong ideas about everything. So spiritual life is about gradually awakening to this fact that in this adventure that we are called upon, in this adventure that we call rediscovering our connection with God, ultimately there is no risk. But to reach that point of realization, we need to let go of certain ideas that create a false sense of risk, create a false sense of gain, create a false sense of everything, false sense of God, a false sense of ourselves. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur will say Tattva Vibrahma. We have to be free from this confusion, this bewilderment about what is reality. So that's anartha. So the way to replace that, the way to unlearn, what we need to learn is to acquire sambandha. So sambandha means to be educated about the nature of reality, to learn what is what, basically. Interestingly, the word sambandha in our tradition refers to this knowledge that gives us an orientation to our practice. No? We engage in practice, spiritual practice, but which is the knowledge orienting our practice? Each one is practicing with some particular orientation, with some particular idea. So what's that orientation? We call it sambandha. And in Sanskrit, sambandha means sambandha. Sam means everything, and bandha means, like in English, some similar, bandha, bonded. The sambandha means the knowledge, the teaching that shows us how everything is bonded, how everything is in connection with everything else, with God in the center. Yoga, we call it also. We call it religion. The word religion comes from the Latin religare, which means to rebond, to reconnect. It's not that, to reconnect means most to reconnect in our own self. Things are already connected, but we have a fractured vision of things. So everything is already interconnected with Krishna in the center. So it's not that we need to reconnect everything with Krishna in the center. Everything is already there. But we are not there. And that's why we project our separateness, our sense of disconnection. And we see isolated units instead of interconnected wholes. That's basically the problem to overcome according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vayam dvitiya avinivesha-dasha. We have a separatistic vision, so we see isolated people, isolated units, instead of integrated realities. So sambandha means this. Sambandha means this education, this foundational orientation to be enlightened, schooled about how everything exists in relationship. That's why the Bhagavad Gita, every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita ends up with the word yoga. Jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, bhakti yoga, karma yoga, raja guhya yoga, moksha yoga, you name it. Always yoga, yoga, yoga. Yoga implies union, bond, connection, relationship. Why so much yoga? Because we have so much of the opposite. We have so much of disconnectedness. We are so much invaded, but separateness. So we need bonding. So sambandha means that. Sambandha means learn to relate to everything from a perspective of bonding, of relationship. Try to understand how everything is in relationship with everything else. As simple as that sounds. We have to walk the talk, of course. So, in connection to sambandha, and in connection to how this can help us to rediscover our relationship with Krishna, with God, and in connection to Srila Siddhar Maharaj's appearance today, I would like to share some words, some of his Srila Siddhar Maharaj's teachings that show us how we can learn to relate, learn to rediscover Krishna everywhere. Because one aspect that we may need to unlearn, and we briefly touched upon that last week, is the idea that God, Krishna, however you may feel comfortable calling him, that he is far away from us. No? Many times we even use the fingers like, oh, the other day I was listening to someone talking and he will refer to God as the man above, right? So I'm very grateful to the man above, above, like upstairs in the sky. No? So that was his way of, instead of saying God, maybe God doesn't sound too fancy now to say God. People say God, the man above. Okay. But by doing that, you are sending God to the second floor, so to say, to heaven, the man above. No? Sometimes we even talk about that. No? Because Krishna, and he's doing his, and we point like far away, far away. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't want to deny Krishna his possibility of being above. He's above, below, left, right, inside, outside. Ultimately, there is not a place where God is not. But we should be very careful not to limit him to a distant place and a distant future. Krishna is not a future person. Krishna is not a faraway person. Krishna is not someone that is waiting for us for a future life to relate to us. I mean, we choose to create that idea of God. If you want, you can relate to that, but it's unrelatable. How much I can relate with someone who lives as far as possible, as futuristically as possible, how much you can establish a proper bond. So God is transcendent, but also God is immanent, which means God is beyond everything, but at the same time, God is in everything. Sometimes in philosophy, this is called panentheism. Sorry to torture you with a few new words. Panentheism. Not pantheism, but panentheism. Panentheism, which means pan, everything, and in theism. Theos means God. So panentheism means God in everything, everything in God. That's in Bhagavad Gita. We are not here making up a new philosophy. Sixth chapter, verse 30, Krishna says, Yomam sarvat sarvam 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 paschati sarvatra sarvam chamai paschati. He says, I'm in everything, everything is in me. He's saying that. I am in everything, everything is in me. In the Krishna Leela, we see that when Krishna is accused by his friends of eating dirt, eating earth. Now, as we know, Balaram and some other friends come to Yashoda, like police department coming, denouncing mischievous Krishna. Now, because Yashoda has requested Baladev to report whenever Krishna does something mischievous. He's the elder brother. His dharma is to report the younger brother. The dharma of the younger brother is to do mischief. That's the dharma of a young child. He has to be mischievous. The dharma of the elder brother is a little bit more boring. It's to report the mischief of the younger brother. He would like to join and do all that stuff, but mom has appointed me to denounce every time Krishna is doing something. So Baladev comes to Yashoda and says, Krishna has eaten dirt. That's his dharma, what to do. As the price of being Dauji or the elder brother. And of course, Krishna is not ready to accept that. Krishna is saying, I didn't do that. They are lying. They're all envious of me, all these boys. Because we wrestle, every day we are wrestling, Krishna says, and I'm always defeating them. So they are envious of me, and now they are creating all these stories that I do these things, and I did that, and they did that. That's false. I always defeat them in wrestling. Which is not true, by the way. Generally, Krishna is defeated in wrestling. But anyhow, that's another layer of the conversation. So Yashoda says, okay, open your mouth. Open your mouth. I don't know whom to believe here now. Krishna is very good at argument and convincing people. But at the same time, there are some facts, it seems, no? By Krishna's friends. So she tells Krishna, please open your mouth. I want to see if there is some earth there. And she sees pretty much a lot of earth. He sees the whole planetary systems inside Krishna's mouth. So everything in Krishna, panentheism. She sees how everything is in Krishna. But interestingly, inside Krishna's mouth, she sees all planetary systems, including planet Earth. And inside that planet Earth, she sees Krishna. So Krishna is inside planet Earth, but the planet Earth is inside Krishna. But Krishna is inside planet Earth. And I can continue saying the same thing for eternity. So Yashoda is Vibhrama, another Vibhrama, Tattva Vibhrama. One name of Krishna is Tattva also. She's experiencing confusion about who her son is, what's going on. So, but this is a Leela in the Bhagavatam which shows this principle, this philosophical principle. Is shown in Leela as well. Everything is in God. God is in everything. So God is transcendent. God is beyond everything. God is immanent. God is in everything. So this is an important aspect of how to rediscover our relationship with God. We have to be very careful not to put him as a faraway person, only as a transcendent person, someone removed from the world of matter. That's one of the biggest mistakes that religious people done throughout history. They have removed God from matter, and somehow they have made this world profane because it's presented as having nothing to do with the divine. There are different research done in how, for example, our present ecological crisis. Main reason for our present ecological crisis is religion. Why? Because religious people have put God separate from the world. So the divine is transcendent, it's beyond, it's somewhere else. This world is profane, it's mundane, it's bad, and you end up treating it accordingly. And now you have the present ecological crisis by the grace of religion. So it's up to us to try to counteract such a crime, so to say. So Srila Siddhar Maharaj was someone, one of many, but Srila Siddhar Maharaj was someone who will emphasize this principle of God's immanence and how everything is sacred and how everything is divine. So I'd like to share a few words from him that I've included in my second book, Radical Personalism. Man, these are only a few. He's quoted way many times more than this, but I'd like to share a few words from him in connection to the importance of rediscovering our connection with Krishna by learning to rediscovering Krishna here and now, no? Even in the world of matter. So I'll share a few quotes and I will reflect in between and let's see where we end up with this. So I'm beginning with one small quote where Srila Siddhar Maharaj speaks about the importance of change, of changing our mind, changing our perspective of things. So he will say, a radical change must be affected in us if we really want a life worth living. This is the singular meaning of our ideal. Srila Siddhar Maharaj has his own way of talking, his own unique way of expressing. So he says that if you want a life worth living, we need to be ready to embrace radical change. Now, the word radical is not a bad word. Radical, just in case, radical personalism. Radical means something happening at the very root of things. Come from the Latin radix. So he speaks here about the importance of being willing to change. life is about change. Spiritual life is about change. But it's interesting because many times we come to a spiritual life, or we come to religion, or we come to God, just to look for a set of certainties so we don't have to change anymore. No? We receive a set of absolutes, a set of dogma and teachings and perfect conclusions. So now I don't need to change because now I have revealed knowledge. But that's not the conclusion. That's not the spirit of spiritual tradition. Spiritual tradition is about evolution and change and unfolding. Renewal, rediscovery. So Srila Syamaraj says, a life worth living is a life based on change. Hey, of course, we need stability. We need to be certain in certain things. But change is so crucial. So he will say, Srila Syamaraj will say, when you have the proper conception, then you can read Krishna Lila everywhere. So that's powerful. When you have the proper conception, sambandha, when you have the proper understanding, then you can read Krishna Lila everywhere. Krishna Lila means the divine play of God. And in other words, if you have the eyes to see God's actions, God's presence is everywhere. There is not a place that He is not, that's not there. As I like to say always, one of the definitions of God is that He's omnipresent. No? So try to think about that. I mean, that's not to think about. You cannot think omnipresence, right? Your thinking capacities get exhausted. But God is omnipresent. But many times we don't perceive God's presence. Although He's everywhere. So if God is omnipresent and I do not perceive His presence, then that means I'm omni-absent. Right? Because if a person is everywhere and I'm not perceiving that person who is everywhere, means I'm nowhere myself. I'm absent from all places. I'm absolutely distracted because He's omnipresent. There is not a place He's not. But I don't perceive His omnipresence. So I'm omni-absent. Right? Omni-distracted. So spiritual life has to do with turning back our attention in the proper direction. So we can realize there is not a place God is not. Again, it's not that He's far away, over there, above the sky, above the clouds. That's Krishna's place. That's God's place. There is not a place He's not. The place He's not. He's everywhere. We may not have that vision yet. I understand it. But at least we have to start with the right conception, with the right understanding. Because if there is no right understanding, what will follow them? So right understanding means even if I don't have that vision, at least I have the knowledge that will take me to that vision. So when I have the proper conception, I will read Krishna Lila everywhere, so as Srila Maharaj will say. I will find God's presence everywhere. So one, that this sounds simple, but it's a very important point. Rediscover our relationship with God means being able to discover Him in the immediacy of matter, of earth, of every atom. Brahma Samhita in our tradition teaches Krishna is in every atom. That's why you try to study the atom and it has no end. It has no end because God is present there. The unlimited is present even in the smallest particle. Paramanu, says the Brahma Samhita. Paramanu. Anu means atom. Paramanu means like sub. What's that? Okay. So, Paramanu means subatomic particle. So, even there you can find the divine. Let me read something that Srila Siddha Maharaj mentions in connection to how we can find God everywhere. Now he says, everything is full of wonder. If we analyze the atom, we will be in wonder. Only we impose limitations. But when we analyze the atomic parts of wood or stone, we will be in wonder. The infinite is everywhere. By definition, the infinite must be everywhere. Perfection is everywhere. The trouble is that with our limited thinking, we have produced a world of limits. So Srila Siddha Maharaj is trying to make this point. How to rediscover my relationship with God? Look at the atom. He's there. Try to honor every particle of matter for what it is. It's there. Try to live a life of wonder. Spiritual life is a life of wonder. Again, many times we have done the opposite. In the name of spirituality, we have like killed wonder. And we ended up in the embracing a set of formulas to be good Christian, good Gaudiya Vaishnava, good person. Which beliefs do I have to subscribe? And that means to be a practitioner of spirituality, but no. So we were talking, I remember in France when we had our lecture there, we were talking about the difference between belief and faith. Right? Belief is just I embrace a set of dogmas. I believe in this and I believe in that. I have no experience of that, but I believe in this. But that's not faith. Faith is something very different. Belief has more to do with embracing a set of dogmas that bring certainty. And I'm not condemning that. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that shouldn't be conflated with faith. Because faith has a lot to do with remaining open to wonder, remaining open to those things that I cannot control, that I do not know, uncertainty. As Father Richard Rohr will say, the opposite of faith is certainty. I'll repeat it again for better impact. The opposite of faith is certainty. Sometimes we think faith is certainty. To have faith means to be certain about all this stuff. No. To have faith means to be open to mystery. Right?
Give the control.
To let it go and understand. One name for God could be the ever-evolving mystery. I have some friends who like to refer to Krishna with that terminology. The ever-evolving mystery. Again, that throws you into an ocean of uncertainty. I want to introduce a friend of mine. He's called the ever-evolving mystery. No, I like you to get to know each other and to go deep into a relationship with ever-evolving mystery. So ever-evolving mystery means since it's ever-evolving, it always remains mystery. There's always something about that person that you don't know. It's not that you get the day in which, okay, I figure him out completely. I totally understood him. Because that means I control him. Give up control means trying to know someone means trying to control. When I know something, I control that. But if I cannot control that, it means I cannot know it fully. In one sense, Krishna himself is a mystery to himself. So that keeps us in a place of wonder. If we want wonder, you need to be in a situation where things are not entirely certain. That's how it works. Sorry. Those are the rules of the game. You want wonder, everyone says, yeah, I want wonder. Okay, then you have to go outside of your comfort zone and you have to contact mystery. And if it's ever-evolving mystery, you will have ever-evolving wonder. And it's like, I'm not so sure if I want that then. That sounds a little like unsettling, a little bit like adventurous. But that's what life is about. But we need to give to let go and to trust that the ever-evolving mystery is evolving in a very sweet way. Mystery is not evolving in a cruel way, in a negative way, in a conspirational way against us or anything like that. But the way God's heart evolves, it's always with the best intention in mind of all of us. So we have to be open to that if we want wonder. And I think nobody can survive without wonder, I would say. Without wonder, life becomes meaningless and purposeless. And when you lose touch with meaning and purpose, it's basically impossible to continue living. Right? Any of us can be deprived of everything you can possibly imagine. Human beings, we can survive the harshest situations of deprival. But if you are being deprived of purpose and meaning, game over. That's the realization that someone like Viktor Frankl had in the Holocaust, right? He was deprived of everything. And he realized the only way I can survive this without going crazy or killing myself is finding purpose and meaning. For some reason, this is happening to me. I'm going through. I have to find my purpose in this situation. And that's how he was able to go through life. So I will make this point that wonder is so crucial to keep ourselves feeling, oh, this has meaning, this has purpose. The moment we start to practice our spiritual life and wonder is no longer there, how much we can talk about spiritual life? How alive my spiritual life is. So I should practice spiritual life, not spiritual death, right? No, we should practice in a way that we feel this is alive. This is life. This is living, a living thing. And again, for practicing spirituality as a living thing, we have to remain open to the living source, which is this ever-evolving mystery. I was these days reading a little bit the section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Rasa Lila, which is the main section of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, many times specially studied during this month of Kartik. And the whole Rasa Lila is about that, in one sense. It's about the constant rediscovery of who Krishna is. No? Like Krishna is playing his flute, and the gopis are called by the ever-evolving mystery. No? Very mysterious, a flute sounding in the middle of the night, and you are being called to an adventure because you leave everything behind, enter into the dark forest, you don't know what will happen, risk, again, uncertainty, mystery, But the gopis just run behind that. They're not thinking, should we go, should we not go, should I stay or should I go? There's not no mind process there. It's just like Ekiha Kurunandana. One-pointed. And then run behind that mysterious call of the flute. And then they find Krishna. And Krishna becomes even more mysterious because now Krishna is calling them through the flute. Every gopi heard their name being called in the flute sound. Every gopi heard Krishna's heart crying in separation from them, telling to them, I'm dying in separation of you. I need you to come here to save my life, basically. That's what the gopis hear in their love for Krishna. Krishna is calling them, save my life. Emergency call. The bad signal. For those who watch Batman, you have the bat signal, like emergency. Boom. So the gopis all went in that mood. Embracing darkness, embracing mystery. And the ever-evolving mystery now tells them, what are you doing here? So late, I'm a single boy. You are married ladies. Many people, what will people think? You have so many duties at home. Better you return home. So, ever will be mystery again. You cannot figure out Krishna that easily. So, the gopis are like, but you called us. We heard that sound, we heard that desperation, and now you're sending us away. Of course, at the same time, Krishna was speaking in some certain way in Sanskrit. That his words could be understood as go back home or you have to stay here. At the same time, the two meanings were simultaneously possible with the same words. There's nothing, there's no other place you have to be apart from here, or you should go home. So I hope this again, ever evolving mystery. You know, Krishna is keeping everyone on the top of ring of their seats. Like, what's next now? And all this Krishna is doing to increase the experience of wonder, to increase the experience of love, to take it to new heights. And of course, then the gopis defeat Krishna's argument and convince him that they have to stay there. So the Rasa Lila begins. They start to dance and sing and celebrate life. And when everything started to feel certain, now the gopis were even like feeling, oh, I'm so fortunate that I'm dancing with Krishna, I'm so something special, where they were started to fall into comfort zone and statu quo. Krishna broke the statu quo. He disappeared. He felt this is getting too boring now, too certain, too predictable. Now you're feeling too statu quo like, oh, now we are with Krishna and Rasa Lila finally. No, out. So Krishna again added another layer of mystery, created another layer of bewilderment, basically. So, but of course, the Bhagavatam tells that Krishna disappeared with one gopi. So, long story short, of course, there's so much to tell about this. I'm just summarizing, trying to make this particular point. And Krishna left with one gopi. In our tradition, we'll say that gopi was Srimati Radharani. And it's also explained that at one point that gopi asked Krishna, I'm so tired, please. I cannot walk anymore. You carry me. No? So we could say, and at that moment, Krishna disappears from that gopi. So another layer of wonder. And then the gopis meet all together and Krishna is hiding, as we know, listening to that, to their singing in separation from him. Anyhow, eventually they get together again. Rasa Lila continues. But all this back and forth were necessary to add different layers of mystery, uncertainty, wonder. So the final experience, the final edition of the Rasa Lila was fully, really fulfilling for everyone. So that's a constant adventure that we are being called in connection to the divine. We shouldn't be afraid of that. That's what Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita, almost first instruction to Arjuna and almost last instruction to Arjuna. Krishna says, Masuchaha. No, don't fear. Don't worry. I know I'm a little adventurous guy. I know I have that reputation. I know even the gopis will say I'm a little bit unstable, Krishna will say. Changing my mind and disappearing and calling me and sending me back home and all this stuff. Some gopis may even think I need some therapy or something, that I'm a little like up and down. But that's not the case. That's part of the adventure. No? You are being called for. Love is an adventure. Let's not forget that. Love is not about status quo. Love is not about predictability. Love is not about everything being controllable to us. Sometimes we wish, if only life will be predictable and everything will fall into place, I will be so balanced and so stable. But you don't know what you are asking for. If things will be like that, you will be the first one to complain. Like, everything is so predictable, everything is so this and that, I want some chaos here, right? I need some unpredictability, some uncertainty, some excitement. I'm bored to death. So Krishna is providing that element in our life. Love is providing that element. I'm not promoting sheer chaos and sheer uncertainty. That will be too much. But also, let's be careful not to go to the other extreme either. Everything is ordered, predictable, in place. That sounds more like a totalitarian regime, like a dictatorship. Everything is predictable. Even how you dress, how you talk, how you think, how you greet each other. Everything has to be predictable, in order. No place for chaos, yes, but it's a dictatorship. Too much order. So Krishna knows when to disrupt the order. And that's also the role of the guru. No? Since we are today celebrating Srila Siddhar Maharaj, he was very expert at that. Right? Srila Siddhar Maharaj was very expert at disrupting the statu quo in a healthy way. In other words, when we are too sure about how things are, someone like him will come and tell you something that challenges your understanding. And you're like, oh my gosh, I thought I understood that. And when I was so certain, I was kicked off of my comfort zone and I'm invited to think again. So that's part of the duty of the guru, representing the supreme disruptor, Krishna. When we are getting too statu quo-like, too attached, addicted to certainty, that can become an addiction, literally. You may not be addicted to substances, but you can become addicted to having everything under control. That's probably the worst addiction. So we need some disruption to that, some healthy, holy disruption. Whether God come into our lives through circumstances or in the role of a teacher, the role of a teacher is never allowing the student to become addicted to certainty. Mm-hmm. What the disciple is taking for granted, Krishna consciousness, the guru will say something that will invite you to think differently. This is probably one of the most, if not the most quoted line of Srila Siddhar Maharaj that I love to invoke, which is, change your angle of vision. Change your angle of vision. We generally acquire an angle of vision and we stay there. And that becomes like calcified. Okay, this is it. Finally, I got the angle of it. No, change your angle. Change your angle. Remain adjusting. Remain updating, upgrading. Things are, reality is moving, reality is evolving, progressing. So, like the other day we were talking, I was bathing in the Jalangi here. in the morning has become part of my morning sadhana. And I was just like floating in the Jalangi and just seeing the whole river moving. And it was like endless, literally. So I was just thinking, okay, this is basically how Krishna is, how God is, no? It's like an endless current of constant moving. No? It's not like if water stops moving, it becomes poison. Let's put it that way. You cannot take that water. You cannot use it. It's stuck, stagnant. So I was thinking, yeah, that's how reality operates. No? It's a constant flow. It's never the same. As the famous saying says, you cannot step twice in the same river. It's always new. You were talking about fire the other day. It's the same. You're seeing fire, and it's never the same flame. No? So it's the same. It's fire, but it's not the same. It's the same river, but it's not the same. We call it the Jalangi, but at every moment it's a different thing at the same time. But we have to be careful when we are putting names to things. Okay, that's the Jalangi. And so it seems like Jalangi. No? It's one thing, it's called like that. It cannot be any other thing. But it's constantly moving. We put a name to something that is constantly moving. We have to be careful by putting names to things, not to limit the movement of those things. No? Because all of you have names also. I can call you by name. Oh, he's Hridaya Chaitanya. But what's Hridaya Chaitanya? Hopefully it's not like a name, but it's a constant, ongoing, flowing entity. So this, the same applies to everything, no? We say God. Okay, we call God Krishna. Okay, but be careful. Because you know God's name, that doesn't mean you already figure him out and you can just put him in a box and okay, I know who Krishna is. He's a constant ocean of permanent movement. So someone like Sri Lakshmi Maharaj will invite us to that. No? Like perfect role of guru. When we are falling into this addiction to intoxication, we are supposed to not indulge in intoxication. Certainty can be one of those. You can be breaking the four regulatory principles on a daily basis, but being addicted to certainty. We need some certainty. No? I'm not canceling all certainty, but everything needs to be balanced. All these polarities in life need to find their place. Certainty, uncertainty, chaos, and order, mystery, and what's known. Everything has to find their place. One doesn't need to exclude the other. So anyhow, some thoughts I want to share today in connection to Srila Siddhar Maharaj's appearance, in connection to some of his teachings, and in connection to the topic of how to rediscover our relationship with Krishna. And how to rediscover ourselves in our relationship with Krishna. Because it's not just about rediscovering the other person, but rediscovering myself through the other person. It's always reciprocal. The best way you can rediscover yourself is by relationship with others and rediscovering the other person. Many times we put Krishna in boxes or people in boxes because we have put ourselves in boxes also. So we have to leave the box open, so to say, for us to be more than what we think we are. If I have a very limited idea about who I am, probably I'm projecting that to everyone else, including God. So I have to remain in a very fluid space of not even taking for granted who I am. Because I can define myself, I'm a spiritual soul. Yes, but that's just a definition. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a spiritual soul? Which are the implications of that? What's the potential of the Atma? It's unlimited. We have unlimited. You can redefine yourself. I am a unit of unlimited potential. That's who you are. That leaves the doors open for becoming perpetually so much more. I am a unit of unlimited potential. If I connect to the unlimited source, there's no limit to all that I can be. But how much do I see myself as such on a daily basis? Or how much I already put myself into a box, many times not very generous boxes. Many times, as we were talking yesterday, the way we see ourselves, the way we treat ourselves, is generally the worst possible way we treat anyone. Generally, I don't see anyone else as I see myself many times, as worse as I see myself. I tell things to myself that I will never tell anyone else. Sometimes, not always, hopefully. So we need to, again, disrupt that pattern. And to see ourselves for not only who we are, but for all that we can be in potential. Srila Siddhartha Maharaj will say that. He will say, you have a brilliant potential. That's who you are. You are your brilliant potential. Try to identify yourself with your brightest potential. That's where it lies, your highest prospect. That's who you are. That's how you're being seen by Krishna. That's how you're being seen by someone like Srila Siddhartha Maharaj. Not in terms of who you were in the past and all the mess you did and all the mess you still are, but the brightest possible future that accompanies you, that's who you are. That's how generously we are being seen by God. So the more we learn to see to treat ourselves that generously, the more we can extend that vision to others. The more we can allow others, as we say the other day, the more we can allow Krishna to be all that he can be in our lives. If I'm not allowing myself to be all that I can be, probably I'm not allowing anyone else to be all that they can be in my life. God, relationships, friendship, whomever. So it's important that we remain inhabiting that space of allowing ourselves to be all that we can be, not limiting ourselves to who we were, to even who we are, but to treat each other according to our brightest prospect and trying to help each other to reach that brightest prospect. Not just saying, you have a bright potential and I treat you like crap. No. But if I really see you I see you in terms of your potential, I will try to relate to you to kindle that potential. So, because that's how Krishna is seeing us. Again, Krishna is seeing us for all that we can be in our brightest potential. So that's a very beautiful idea. That's a very hopeful horizon, at least for me. It's challenging also, because if I'm being seen for all my brightest potential, I'm invited to treat everyone else in that way, and that's not easy sometimes. It's so easy to put people in boxes and just treat them miserably. It's so easy to do that, and it's so difficult to do that. It creates so much problem. It's so problematic, so painful. It's so limited, so suffocating to relate each other just as boxes. No wonder in English you have boxing. Frida has some training in boxing. So boxing can be this, but boxing can also be putting people in boxes. But it's almost the same. It's almost like if I'm boxing. No? It may be even more harmful just if I put you in a box than if I physically punch your face. But it's the same word, boxing. We don't want boxing here. Of any type. And if we want some boxing, let be this one in terms of exercise. But putting people in boxes, putting yourself in boxes, putting Krishna in boxes. Sorry, you cannot make that play of words in Spanish in the translation. So. Sometimes that's a complication with translation. So, anyhow, some thoughts. Before we conclude, of course, as usual, I like to open, we have a few minutes, if you have questions, if you have anything you would like to share, to ask about, to comment upon what we have been talking today. Yes.
Thank you very much. Maharaj Maharaj just said, if you feel a spiritual master is to give a vision to the disciple greater than what he can conceive of himself. And I think the way you said it was also beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. So the duty, let me repeat it so I stay with me. The duty of the spiritual master is to give a disciple a vision greater than the vision that the disciple can come up with himself. Yeah, thank you. Beautiful.
And since Krishna is everything and things in Krishna, is it correct to then see that actually everything that happens in your life is actually just between you and Krishna? All the other things are just details. And this one's in a spiritual platform, then you can't even see through this, you're actually between Jesus and you. And this is like on a spiritual platform. So does that then mean like if you have a problem with a situation or a person, then actually it's a problem with Krishna that you have. And you can proceed with that.
Yeah, we can make a case for that. We could say this, the idea that of course Krishna is the root of existence. So if I have a problem with the roots, so to say, everything else will be somehow affected by that. So that's why the Bhagavatam and other traditional scriptures give this example of watering the root of the plant. Implying if you put the water in the root, the rest of the plant is nourished. But if you try to put the water everywhere else except for in the root, it doesn't work. So sometimes we may try to fix or try to work on different relationships of things but neglecting the root. So relating to, in other words, if I have a problem in some relationship with anyone, let's say, it's not that, okay, I have a problem with Hriday, okay, I will pray to Krishna and solve my relationship with him because it must be something with me and between me and Krishna, not with him. No, it's not that, because it's more about, I have a problem with him, quote unquote, I think I have a problem with him. And the solution to the problem is also by learning to see him in connection to Krishna. So in connection to the root. So it's not that I have to only just me and Krishna, me and Krishna, me and Krishna. In one sense, everything is connected to Krishna. But I have to relate to everything with that awareness. Because again, the problem mostly is that we relate to everything without that awareness. The problem is not like I'm relating to other people instead of Krishna. The problem is I'm relating to other people without Krishna being present in that relationship. No? Because nobody exists disconnected from God. So the problem, the moment I relate to myself even, what to speak other people, let's start at home. The moment I relate to myself without seeing my connection with God, then I'm kind of fracturing reality, so to say. I'm seeing a fractured picture of the wholeness of reality. Reality is whole. No? It's integrated. No? It's complete. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasisati. Even if you don't know Sanskrit, you know this verse is saying a lot, Purnam. And Purnam is complete, like whole. So everything is whole. God is complete. Whatever emanates from God is complete. There is wholeness everywhere. But we are not just aware of that. So Krishna consciousness means basically that. To be conscious of who actually Krishna is and how everything exists in connection to that center. Yeah.
Is that the meaning of yoga?
Sorry again?
Is that the meaning of yoga, is to link?
Yeah.
Or even religion that comes from?
Yeah, yoga means this like constant state of connection. Again, the connection is already there. Nothing can exist unplugged from the center, let's say. But I can live as if that's not true. And we know what are the consequences of that. So yoga means basically an act of presence, so to say, to the fact that everything is connected, to bring in presence to that reality that already is there. To bring my presence to the fact that everything is revolving around a common center. Presence, as we were talking yesterday with Maivan about that. Presence is a very important word. I think we need to bring it more to our life. Presence. Presence.
It's not possible to understand. It's not possible. I cannot understand why the complete must be more complete than when the perfect. You think something perfect is perfect. It must be more perfect. So what is the perfection? The all. It is all and must be more all.
Yeah, the thing is how we define, because all these are words we are using, right? We are resorting to words to speak about the infinite. So we are trying our best, but sometimes words fail miserably. So we say perfect, for example. No? Right? Krishna is perfect. But what's our idea of perfect? No? Many times, as I like to say, I'm writing my third book, and I mentioned this in one part, that perfection is not a fixed maximum. No? Because sometimes for us, that's perfection. Perfection is a fixed maximum. It cannot go beyond that. So if God is perfect, there is a top, bottom, a fixed maximum. But that's a very imperfect idea of perfection. If something is truly perfect, it can always exceed its own limits. It has to remain in a state of constant overflowing. It might have no end. Because if not, the more we use the word perfect, the more we are limiting. If we think of perfection as fixed maximum, that doesn't sound perfect. So that's paradoxical. We use words like perfect, but we use them in a way that is so imperfect. So when we say Krishna is perfect, we have to clarify what we mean by that. So it's not a fixed maximum. Krishna remains in a state of constant becoming, expansion, evolution. Those are the definitions. And again, all this goes beyond words. We can talk about it. I can say some words now. And each of you are trying to understand my words with your brain. And we are trying our best. Now, some smoke starts to come at one point. And that's why also at points scripture will say, stop thinking. Stop thinking. You cannot think God. Put it that way. There's this famous saying, I think it's Saint Augustine in Christian tradition. He said, if you can think it, it's not God. if it's...
Because of Israel. When it was a boy who was playing in the sun. Just doing the water of the sea and the hole in the sun. Saramuski was asking, what you are doing? The small child said, I tried to put the ocean in the hole. This is not possible. This is what you try to do with the
hole. Then he turned back and the child was not here.
He's
turning back to the ocean and then back and the child disappeared. There was no.
So that's why we are going back to the idea of ever-evolving mystery, right? I mean, we can say something about God, but whatever we could say, whatever we could think, it's never the totality. It's never the totality. So that keeps us in a state of permanent mystery, permanent openness. And again, that's unsettling if we are not fully surrendered, if we are not letting go and trusting mystery. That's so disturbing.
My question is, what we can do if we try to understand what things who never understand?
I didn't understand
we
the
try
question.
To understand God.
Yes.
We cannot never understand.
Uh-huh. So, that's why in our tradition we will say that, I mean, understanding God, it's not a brain issue. It's a heart Krishna. The ultimate understanding, your ultimate knowledge is love. So the best way to understand someone is loving that person. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is talking about love or bhakti, chapter 9, verse 2, say Raja Vidya. He defines love as the king of knowledge. Right? He makes that point. The king of knowledge, and for us, knowledge is more a head affair, but he's talking about bhakti there. Bhakti means love for God. So when you love someone, you really know that person. And loving Krishna, of course, the point is that you can never love Krishna fully. What do I mean by fully? That you can always love him more. And therefore means you can always know him more. Because you can always love him more. To know him is to love him. But you can always love him more. So you can always know him more. And that's what keeps eternity going on. That was key for us. In our tradition, we'll say that's why every single day we hear that Krishna, at this time of the day, 8:24, he does this. At 10:48, he does this. And this time he does that. And it seems like every day he's doing the same thing. Similarly, sounds boring, right? Imagine you go to a place where you are given the schedule for eternity. It's like, oof, I don't know if I want to go there. I may need some day that is to do something different. Someday we go. It's like, sounds like hell, not like heaven. It's like, but the thing is that it's never the same because there's always this evolution of love, this expanding, this ever unfolding mystery. So even if externally, at every time of the day, this same similar thing is going on, it's never the same. It's never the same. And that's why we want to go there. Because if not, it's like, it's suicidal to go there. It makes no sense. It sounds like eternal boredom, right? It's like, no, I prefer to stay here in this ups and downs. At least there is some news here, some diversity with all the suffering and stuff, but I stay here. So yeah. A few thoughts on that. Yeah, thank you. Your wife?
A question on behalf of my wife.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
But she's asking, my question is how to really be able to put your heart into your service and relationships and family life. And not becoming different if you know that it is so temporary.
And not becoming indifferent if you
know that it is all temporary.
And that's a whole separate lecture, but I'll say something, but that deserves detailed treatment, so to say, no? Because you brought it, and it's somehow a separate topic, although it's all connected. But yeah, I will personally not use that expression, it's all temporary. Because if I am conducting myself in a relationship, I mean, I'm taking this question as coming from your wife, and it's a personal question. She herself is asking for herself. So she's speaking about her role in family life with her husband and children and so on and so forth. So if the relationships are not merely based on a bodily connection, just casual thing, okay, in this lifetime, you are my husband, in this lifetime, we have nothing else in common apart from that, that's our connection. Okay, that's one thing, but in the case that we are talking here, we are talking about spiritual bonds, spiritual relationships, spiritual family, Krishna in the center. So I won't describe that as it's all temporary. I mean, it's the eternal is the center. Ideally, again, we may still failing at that, but the intention of the family project is let's have this family with God in the center. So how much can I speak of that as it's all temporary? No? In one way, we are relating with the eternal in the center, and we are cultivating also love for each other with Krishna in the center. And we may develop this desire of, I want to serve along with you eternally. And there is place for that. There's not that Krishna is like, no, 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 no. That's not possible because it's all temporary. No, no. Of course, at one point we will leave this body. I'm not saying that this physical body remains for eternity. But if you create some spiritual bonds with people that are genuine, that are deep, that are sincere, that have Krishna in the center, and you develop a desire to keep those bonds in eternity, why Krishna wouldn't satisfy that desire? In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami speaks about, of course, he speaks about Krishna being the perfect object of love for everyone, but also he then presents this separate category, which is devotees having love for each other. So it's not that in Golok Vrindavan everyone loves Krishna and they don't even look at each other, no? Because they love Krishna so much. No? They love Krishna so much that they don't have time to love each other. No, it doesn't work. It sounds dysfunctional. Imagine, no? We love Krishna and they look like, oh, Krishna, I love you. They don't talk to each other. No, no, no. So there is love for Krishna and there is love for the devotees. No? So in eternity. So my point is in eternity, but eternity begins here and now. How we can cultivate our connections, that's what creating our eternity, so to say. So you follow my point? The way you will end up relating to God in eternity begins to how you are related to God here. And in the same way, the way you will be relating to who will be your relationships in eternity in part is also coming here. It's not like, okay, here I'm praying to Krishna, but then when I reach Golok Vrindavan, I will be thrown into a new place. I don't know anyone. I just know Krishna. Krishna, remember me? Yeah, I remember you. But all these other guys, I don't have a clue who they are. It's not like that. So there is place for that. There is place for continuing developing our relationships in eternity with one another. For me, that's how I understand words like Prabhupada saying something like, there will be an ISKCON in the spiritual world. He say that. I don't take that as institutionally, no? Right? So for me, it's more like, okay, we are culturing some bonds here in certain contexts, and that will extend itself till there. No? So that it's a natural like extension, unfolding, continuation. Why not? Again, why to limit? Vaikuntha mean no limits, right? Spiritual world, Vaikuntha, no limits. We are so expert at imposing limits. I'm not saying that anything is possible there and you can do whatever, but if it's in certain parameters and contexts, why not? So in that sense, I don't think that one needs to, how to say, to feel bad here if I'm having love for my kids or my husband or, oh, this is so bad because it's all temporary and at one point I have to reject all this and just love Krishna. No, the idea is to integrate. I don't need to hate my husband in order to love Krishna, right? I don't need to stop loving all of you so I can love Krishna more. And also the other way around, of course, right? So it's not that we need to only love one and reject the others, but really loving Krishna means, and that's a definition that, that's implied in the definition of bhakti given by Rupa Goswami. Anyavilasita sunyam jnana karmadhyana vrita manokulina krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama. In the purport to that verse, Jiva Goswami describes the word anushilanam and says, anushilanam means a practice that has Krishna as its object. So bhakti has Krishna as its object. And then he says, but this is a narrow definition. A broader definition is that the bhakti has as its object Krishna and everything that is in relationship with Krishna. And of course, then the question is, so what's in relationship with Krishna? Everything. So that's a more comprehensive definition where you don't need to exclude. In the name of loving Krishna, I don't need to stop loving you, because you are a distraction. No, if I really love Krishna, I will end up loving everyone and everything, because nothing exists disconnected from Krishna. Loving Krishna means loving the things that are in connection to God, and everything is connected to God. That's why a real lover of God is a lover of everything. I cannot say Krishna love you and I hate all of you. That doesn't compute. That cannot work. Exactly. Exactly. Or you can even present it from this place. If I want to love Krishna, I have to love the things that Krishna loves. My Prabhupada will say, if you love me, you love my dog. Okay, so loving Krishna means loving the things or the people, things Krishna loves. What's that? Everything. There's nothing that Krishna does not love, because God is love, right? So if God is love, he cannot not love. If you are made of love, you cannot not love. Bible says that.
If you say you love the God, don't love the other, you are alive. Because if you don't love the other, what you see,
So again, if I really love Krishna, I will love everything. And that's challenging, you know, because it's easy to say, Krishna, love you, but loving everything, everyone, especially the people that I challenge him, that I feel that are my enemies. Oh, like Jesus saying, love your enemies. You have to demonstrate your divine love all the way up to your worst enemy, so to say. Of course, you have to realize there are no enemies. If I really love God, I cannot have enemies. It's not possible. So.
You cannot push also. You must put your body where you are not feeling.
Mm-hmm.
No, somebody, because sometimes I think if you push too much, it's like hypocrisy. If somebody will not have no feeling,
no. When I say love everyone, doesn't mean that I will give everyone the key of my house and the password and welcome everyone. And sometimes I need to take distance from people, but that doesn't mean that I will hate them. How can I love someone even when I need to take a distance from that person? That's the art. Right? How to keep loving? Love takes different shapes. It's not just I love you. No? It can be I love you, but still I love you. Hopefully, again, I need to take distance so I can appreciate. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti will say that. He will say, with envious people, we may need to take distance. So from that distance, we can see something good in them. Because when we are too close, we just see that envy and we just like label them and that's it. So because I want to see something good, because I want to love you, I'm taking this distance so I can have a better perspective of who you actually are. So we have to be creative in how we do that in each particular case. And as we were talking also these days, that includes us. Loving everyone, because I have to learn to love myself in a healthy way. And many times when I'm trying to love others, it has to be in a way that is also loving to myself. Because if in the name of loving all of you, I end up mistreating myself, how loving that is. So that's the art. The art of loving God means that everyone else has to be loved in their proper, in a proper way that is healthy for everyone. That's not so simple. But that's a beautiful invitation, so to say. So, Devi, sorry.
Yeah, just regarding your last question, my Guru Maharaj said to me that when you develop genuine spiritual relationships here, you will definitely remember them. There will be a recognition when you get to the spiritual world. If you develop genuine spiritual loving relationships here, you definitely remember them.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's temporary.
Yeah.
If there's genuine relationship, then it's going to continue.
And of course, someone may try to figure that out, like thinking, but how will that happen? Will I see you and remember?
Yeah.
I mean, you are in that moment where you are thinking too much in that moment, no? it will happen in a way that defies all our present ways of acting. But that confirmation is there coming always. So that's the important thing. How that happened, the details of, I mean, you are thinking too much. I mean, it's good to think, but it's good to know when to stop thinking also, right? And to open, be open and trust and allow Krishna to reveal himself fully. No? Because when you remain in a very thinky platform, that can also be an obstacle. Okay, so it's 1 p.m. now. I don't want to overextend myself. We can continue next week. We will have another series of lectures continuing talking about these different topics and how to rediscover our relationship with Krishna. Thank you so much for coming. Shri Sachinandan Gaur Hari Ki Jai, Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Abhibab Mahotsav Titi Srila Bhakti Rakshakti Ardev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai, Kartik Prat Ki Jai, Sadhu Sangha Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Ki, Vancha Kalpataru Vishthag Sindhu Veva Chapati Tanam Pavane Vyavaishnavibhyanamon, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Hari Bhai.